more Lawyers Who Needs Them. Here are your hosts, Jim and Randall.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. As we conclude 2010, I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hart.
And we sincerely appreciate you making our program the number one show in Butte, Montana.
Right. I have heard there's a news bulletin.
Oh, there's a flash. We got a flash while we were away, ladies and gentlemen. What happened, Jim?
It was a hot flash.
A hot flash.
At my age, you get hot flashes.
Yes.
This was a... we got notice that the doctor who had performed the plastic surgery on Heidi Montag, his name is Dr. Frank Ryan.
That's right.
And he died. And he died because he was driving and he was texting and tweeting.
He was tweeting.
Which is Twitter.
Right.
And he was texting.
Texting.
And tweeting, and he drove his car over a cliff, and he is now dead. I thought he committed suicide. He was afraid he's getting sued for all the botched job he did.
That's why you can't tweet when you're trying to drive. It's
That's very dangerous. That's a good lesson for everybody. Please.
Right.
No tweeting and twittering and jerking around. While you're driving,
especially
particularly after you performed lumpy surgery on Heidi Montag,
lousy surgery,
you didn't get the boobs even.
Well, so she didn't. I tell you why her boobs were. I told you before. You've got to go from the surgery directly to Firestone and get them aligned.
The rehab is as important.
It is. It's the alignment. $59.95. You get them aligned, and nobody has anything to say about it.
Right.
All right. We're going to. I think if you go there, just tell them we sent you. Sent you for the alignment job.
That's right.
That'll work.
Okay.
All right, well, it's time for questions from our loyal listeners.
And now it's time for the main event.
All right, welcome back here. It's time for questions from our loyal listeners, and we're going out to Memphis, Tennessee. Bill from Memphis writes, Dear Jim and Randall, what is the best way to locate a competent and honest attorney?
That's a good question.
It's not possible.
That's what I was about to say. It's an oxymoron. But if you find out that you need a lawyer and you don't know one and you have not had any experience with a lawyer, I would suggest one of two things, well, several things. Speak to some friends who have had good experiences with lawyers. If they've had bad ones, that's a process of elimination. Get rid of that guy.
You mean a good experience would be I went to jail and they got me out?
No, that's one good experience. The other one is, for some people, I got out and they put me back in.
Oh, all right.
But, however, I would say that you can call the Bar Association, in your case probably in Memphis.
That's right.
And they might have a lawyer reference service.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that's free. It's something that lets you know what lawyers are registered there and what their specialties are. And I think that that's the best thing that I can recommend.
That's right.
And but when you see a lawyer, first thing you ask him is, what about the fee?
Right.
What it's going to cost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And when he gives you a price, the first thing you say is
you're faint.
You
lie down on the ground. You're faint.
And then when you come to, you say, that's outrageous. And then you faint again.
That's right.
That should do it. Try that, Bill. Let us know how it
and
works.
And the lawyer probably responds, I know it's outrageous. I'm a lawyer.
I used to be a plumber.
That's right.
All right. Christine from Dallas, Texas writes, Dear Jim and Randall, under what circumstances can a judge set aside a verdict, and can that being set aside be appealed?
Well, yes, and I think it may differ in some jurisdictions, but basically you can set aside a verdict where the verdict is, where the judge concludes that no reasonable jury could have reached that verdict, that it's contrary to the weight of the evidence, or there's no evidence, or the evidence is not substantial, or it's not credible. They can do that, and they do that, and they say it's no good as a matter of law. I have to say that because the judge can't determine facts. He determines the law.
The law, right.
So he says that this is, or there's been error in some part of the trial, and he sets it aside because of error. In that case, he would direct a new trial to be held. Can it be appealed? Yes, in most. It depends on the jurisdiction again, but it is appealable. Now in a criminal situation, you know, an acquittal cannot be appealed. The prosecution cannot appeal.
Right.
So if the judge sets aside a verdict and it was a verdict of acquittal, that might be able to be appealed on the basis that it's not a complete trial. So it's not double jeopardy. He's not being tried again.
That's right.
Because it's not a trial if he sets it aside, so forth. But it may, again, depend on the jurisdiction.
Okay.
That's
good
a
answer.
Good question.
That was a good question, Christine. Thank you for sending that in. Larry from Huntsville, Alabama, right near Jim's famous hunting grounds, Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
Right. I know it's Tuscaloosa.
Okay. Here's what Larry says. The local newspaper mistakenly used my name in place of another man who was arrested for robbing a drugstore. Now, our names are similar. The papers say that they will print a retraction at some point somewhere in the paper. Can I sue them? The damage has already been done.
Well, you'd have to show money damages to be able to sue them, number one. And papers have a little more protection than the average person does.
Yeah, but
does.
He can't go in a drugstore now. Just as soon as he does, they grab him.
Well, he probably... In any event, I would suggest that you see a lawyer on this because...
Absolutely.
If you've been damaged, it may be actionable and it may not. Again, I have to advise you that newspapers have a too much protection, in my opinion, concerning defamation, things like that. But in this case, there may be something you can do.
Yeah, because having a retraction on page 56 2 days later...
That's the thing you might be able to get...
And this guy's trying to buy toiletries. He can't get in.
Well...
It's not
trying
fair.
To buy toilets?
No,
well,
not toiletries, toiletries.
Oh, I see.
Toilets he could buy all he wants.
That's right.
His
that
reputation's was... in the crapper to begin
I
with.
Know.
All right.
Well, he's got to buy that Old Spice.
That's.
He went in to get Old Spice.
Right.
And they didn't have it.
They didn't have it?
So they printed this article that they didn't have Old Spice. Only had New Spice.
Oh.
And he didn't want the New Spice.
Wanted the Old Spice.
He wanted an Old Spice.
You know, Old Spice has made a return. It's coming back in style like your clothes.
I know.
Willis from Shreveport, Louisiana.
When it comes to your clothes, they're going to get them in your size pretty soon. They tell me that. I understand it. Go ahead.
You can't beat them, folks. You can't beat them. Willis from Shreveport, Louisiana.
Right.
Where they have the best Cajun food you'll ever want to eat. You will need Beano. Dear Jim and Randall, are homeowners association rules enforceable? A neighbor just put up a chain link fence, which is in violation of the rules. What can I do? Now, you've come to the right place because you are in charge of the homeowners association your palace, right?
That's right, my homeowners association. The fact of the matter is, yes, you can do something about it, yet you know they cannot. Now, what you can do and not do is contained in the association documents that form the association, and very many states have make you file those with the Secretary of State or some government office. And in that case, if it says in there you can't do it, and
a chain link fence,
it's enforceable.
So they'll have to make them take it down.
Right.
All right. Okay. There you go, Willis. Check the rules and ask the association to enforce them. And I agree with you. Chain link fence looks like you're working in a prison or something.
That's right.
Or here. Carl from Fargo, North Dakota, where the wind blows from the north. Writes, Dear Jim and Randall, I have been back to the car repair service station I use for the third time, and the problem is still not fixed. I have spent over $1,500, and my car still won't start. Do I have any recourse?
Well, the first thing, Carl, is don't go back to that service station. The third one is, or the second one is...
You skipped one there.
Yeah, I did. I'll get to the third one.
Okay.
No, the second one is, and the main thing is, you can get the money back. The guy doesn't go to small claims court. Tell them you paid them money.
Right.
You did not get the service for which you paid.
Mm-hmm.
You did not get the product for which you paid. And you want your money back. And if you don't, you're going to punch the guy right in the nose.
Well, here's the problem.
What?
He can't get there. His car won't start.
Well, get a horse.
Get a something.
Or get out with your thumb and get back to the
small claims court there. Got to go there. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Carl, let us know how you make out there, and we'll see what we can do to help you. Last
right.
question of the day. Roger from Green Bay, Wisconsin says, Dear Jim and Randall, I have figured out that the best way to shrink our federal government is to stop paying taxes and shut off their money supply. Is there any way to do that legally?
No, but you could do it illegally. Now, after all, civil disobedience is not legal.
Right.
Like people who sit down on other people's property and stuff like that, but we call it civil disobedience. Frankly, if you get enough people, you could organize this, and that's the way to do it. You get several hundred thousand people who feel the way you do. As a matter of fact, there are millions
right.
who feel
and
the way you do.
You can't put a million people in jail.
You can't put them in jail. They're not going to. They would create quite a commotion with the government. I think that you can shut off their money supply. It's not so much the money supply; it's the protest that would be reflected in the conduct. And I think it'd be a great thing to do, but don't think it's legal. And if you do it alone, they'll nail you.
Right.
So you got to pay your taxes, and it has to be done in an organized manner. And frankly, I recommend that you try to do it.
Yes, sir, Roger.
But you have to organize and make sure it's done correctly.
Right. Get everybody to not pay at the same time. And give us a call because we'll go along with you, too.
Right.
We're going to take a short intermission, but when we come back, you're going to find out what happened to the casket of Lee Harvey Oswald.
Right.
You're listening to Lawyers Who Need Them. We'll be right back.
This is Lawyers Who Needs Them. Back to your hosts, Jim and Randall.
Welcome back to Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
I'm Jim Hart.
And we appreciate you joining our show because you're just in time for this week's Simon Hart Award. This week's Simon Hart Award goes to Nate D. Sanders, Auctions of Santa Monica, California, for auctioning off a coffin used to bury presidential assassin Lee Harvey Oswald. The brother of Lee Harvey Oswald explained that the coffin should have been destroyed years ago rather than being auctioned off and allowed to exist as a ghoulish keepsake.
Our information has it that Robert Oswald said he didn't know the coffin still existed until he read it in a Texas newspaper that it had been put up for sale. An anonymous bidder bought the water-damaged coffin, which was exhumed in 1981, for $87,469 after a spirited round of bidding. Someone, perhaps the buyer, should consider using it for himself. That's ghoulish.
That is ghoulish.
That's
ridiculous. That is a good way. That is just horrendous.
But all the bidders.
Yeah.
Everybody wants
$87,000.
I know.
Wait a second.
A coffin for.
What if I buried you for a couple of weeks, exhumed you, and we sell the coffin?
There'd be nothing left.
Nothing left.
I'm halfway there now.
We always said when you get up in the morning, you reach out.
And if I don't feel wood, I get up.
Well, folks, you've survived another perfectly good hour. Maybe you didn't survive it. Maybe you did. But we hope you did. Be kind to your neighbors. Have a great week. Enjoy the remainder of 2010. And we'll see you again, or talk with you at least, in 2011. And remember, folks, no matter what happens, don't sweat the small stuff.
And remember, too, it's all small stuff.
That's all, folks.